Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 25. Proverbs 25 and 25. The Bible says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. The writer here has made a statement, and it seems kind of odd when you look at it, because we all know tonight that a soul, as we think of, can't drink any water. But we got to realize tonight that the Bible is supplied spiritually, and then we got to look at some things physically. But all of us know about being thirsty. Yes. Sister Brenda, all of us have been there. Now, I know Brother James made mention of different ones in the church a while ago, being vocal and not vocal, and I'll kind of go that same way and compare. But all of us can't be like Brother Russell and be on the mountain all the time. I mean, that just don't happen. You know, and Sister Leith and these others that walk in high cotton all the time, so to speak, we ain't got there yet, Sister Leith. So we know what it's like being thirsty. But tonight, every one of us could probably use a drink in our soul. And I've been, and I know most of you brethren that's worked outside at any time in your life, and some of you sisters I know like to work in the garden, but there ain't nothing like when you're out of working and you got a whole frigidaire, Sister Carolyn, full of stuff at home, lemonade, tea, cold drinks, whatever you got. But most of the time when you get thirsty, your body is going to crave that water. Adam's ale is what we like to call it. It's good and good for you. And the writer here is giving us an indication that there is a distinction between when a man's thirsty and his physical body, the means he'll go to get a drink of water. Nowadays, we carry a thermos or a jug, but back then they had to put their water in old goat skins and stuff, you know, that they had cleaned out, set aside for that purpose. So men has put a great length of study and what I want to say, the effort into keeping water close by. And I got to thinking the other night, Brother Rick had asked us to take care of the service last Wednesday, of course, and I felt like asking Brother Jonathan to preach, and I'm glad I did. He sure done a good job. But I was studying about this, been thinking about it for a while. We got a well there at the house. It's 235 foot deep, I guess, Brother James, and It's a good, strong, bold well, and I thank the Lord for it. But we've got pipe laid on our place almost half a mile away from that well that we water our stuff with. And you can get down there, Sister Carolyn, and turn that spigot on, and half a mile away is good, strong water, but it's kind of warm, you know, coming from that far all the way through them pipes. But you can get there in the shower and say, oh, I'm going to take a cold shower tonight, and you can't stand it. You can't stand just that cold water because it's about, you know, 70 foot from the house and in the well, Brother Brad, and it just about run you out of that shower. But I got to thinking about if we're not careful looking at it like this scripture talks about, the further we get from the well or the source of what we ought to be hooked up to, the more lax we'll get in our experience, the warmer, if you would, that we'll get. Brother James, we won't have that freshness about us. Have you ever been walking down the road or something and seen the old frogs, the tadpoles that live in the road, in the water holes, you know, when it's raining a lot. Brother James got a little end of his driveway there where he turned to go to his shop. Them boys called it the frog pond, them Donnie Jones's boys, because there's always something living there as long as there's water there. But I wouldn't want to drink out of it. You know, the frogs might live in it, but you and I wouldn't make it on that. And this old world's got a lot of water, so to speak, a lot of religion throwing at us in every which of a way, and everybody's believes in something if it ain't even nothing. Ain't that odd? But tonight, you and I ought to believe, according to this Bible, when we get to thirsting for something from a far country, we won't be satisfied with nothing but God's blessing. And I don't know about you, but I've been to church a lot of times and nearly all my life and never really thought about it till I got in a dry place, just how good that water is. I was privileged. I hadn't told Brother Daniel, but he because a brother-in-law asked us to go to revival, then revival at their little country church there this part of this week, and he had asked me to go. He knew my wife was out of town and all, and so I went over there last night, Brother Daniel, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord because I wanted to, you know. I mean, he goes with me and whatnot, but when I got in there and I saw how different worship is at other churches, oh, it didn't take me but a few seconds, Brother Daniel, thank God I go to this church, amen, and we sing like we do, we worship like we do, and we don't think nothing about lifting our hands, and don't think nothing about reaching out for a drink of cold water, amen. I sit there and listen to the preacher, and he told his testimony about how him and his wife was on the verge of busting up when they got, so he got saved, told about how big a dope addict he was and how bad a drunkard he was, and you could tell he was a stout old-looking old boy from up Chip County, Whites, I believe he was, but he told about how his family was. His people was rough, he talked like. But Brother James, you could tell that old boy had an experience. I don't know where he's going to let it take him. I hope it takes him to heaven. Yeah. But you could tell he had a born-again experience, and he got to preaching about revival. And, man, what he was saying was food for my soul. He got to talking about how if we don't have revival, we'll lose our burden for lost people. Going to hell all around us. And surely we don't have to look far out these doors to see that tonight. But I thought about if I could get a hold of a drink of water, that I could be a blessing to somebody that I come in contact with. People's going to see not so much our appearance, and I'm not no way taken away from the appearance of a Christian, I believe. You ought to be able to spot one from a mile off, Brother James. I do believe that. But I also believe we ought to have that spirit to go with it. Amen. That folks will look at us and get us on the line, so to speak. Our Christianity tonight, if it's not brought on the line, I feel like every day, for somebody to see the Christ that dwells in us, he said they would what? They would behold our what? Our good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. And how many times have we read in the Bible where Peter or Paul or one of the apostles, God used them to heal somebody or to bless somebody, and the folks around it talked about how that they marveled, you know. The people glorified God, and they was just sinner people, but they glorified God because of what God did in a person's life. So we think tonight, well, if I can just get a drink of water, well, it's all fine and good, but what about that next man on down the line? He needs a drink too. And if you know the story, if you eating an orange or an apple and you are having trouble eating it, and it turns your nose, so to speak, and you squint your eyes, and you look like you're having problems enjoying it, ain't nobody going to ask you for it. Where did you get that apple? Where did you get that orange? They're gonna do their best to stay away from it. And if you and I tonight don't display that Christ-like spirit and act like we've been liking what we've been drinking, so to speak, then we're going to have a problem convincing somebody else. Amen. I feel like tonight, you'll have to pardon my voice. I thought it was coming back, but it seems like it's trying to get away from me again. But he said, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We could take this and go a lot of different ways with it tonight. And, you know, preachers ask the question, how long has it been since you heard from heaven and all this kind of stuff? And I'm a preacher, not much of one, but I like to preach to the people and for the people, Brother Dane, because I'm one of you. I've heard a lot of preachers get up and preach, and they'll say, you know, they'll make a point, and they'll say, well, shout now. I ain't never liked that too much. Now, you might fall out with me, but I just ain't never liked that kind of terminology, Uncle John, because it kind of puts a man in the pew on the spot. You know, the man in the pew, he ain't really supposed to be answering the man back in the stand, so to speak, and it kind of makes me wonder, really, what the fellow's up to. If he's more interested in helping me get a drink of water and showing me where I could go get it, Brother James, when I get thirsty, and you're going to get thirsty as you go through this life, you think, well, I'm full tonight. I'm bubbling over. One songwriter said, it's bubbling in my soul, and thank God it is. But as you ride that wagon of life, so to speak, over the rocks of this old world, it's going to jiggle out. It's going to jostle out, Brother Joe. And who was that talking about the other night? Brother Rick, I think it might have been. He talked about when we leave the house of God, we ought to look like we've been wet. We ought to look like we've just been rained on with the showers of God. And the next man that comes along, he might not understand why you're so happy. And he might not have no idea what makes you so glad. But the thing that makes some folks mad turns right around and makes some people so happy. And I can't understand and tell you how that I'm saved. I don't understand it. Like the little boy said, I don't know what John 3:16 means, but it sure makes a lost boy saved. Amen. Well, I'm about to feel better here, but he said it. It was to a thirsty soul. We can't see the drink that you need tonight. I have no idea what your need is. But there's one that does. I read in the book of Romans where he's going to, all the secrets of heart, the Bible said, would be revealed or be brought to the light or something like that. It said, I ain't quoting it verbatim, but I'd like to, when I get to heaven, that there would, that desire would be right before God, and he would say, you sure had a desire to get a drink all the time, instead of wanting to pull on his arm all the time and asking him for something. Now, he is a good God and a giving God. Brother Rick preached a good Sunday about him not being a stingy God, and I'm glad he ain't stingy. I'm glad he shares and gives good gifts to his children. But it looks like a lot of times if we ain't careful, we're asking for more and more and more. We got one something we want to. And we keep that a while, and we don't like it, and we get shed of it and get another and all kind of stuff, Brother James, when all the time the Lord's wanting to make sure we got plenty of water. There's probably a lot of things we could do without tonight, physically and what have you. Of course, we all need food and clothes every day, but and he talked like he's going to take care of us on those matters. But more than that, I need a drink of water. I need something that when I go out in this world, Sister Paula, and I don't have the answers for somebody. These people are going to ask you questions if you live for Christ. Because most of them, some of them wants to know just to put you on the spot or make fun of you or what have you. But I guess probably 3 or 4 out of 10 probably is sincere. They get off to themselves and they think, you know, I wonder why Sister Paula does that. Well, she's been drinking from the right well. Sister Brenda, same way, all the rest of us. And if we're not careful, if we've drunk the wrong kind of water, the Bible talked about in one place, according to the pastor, that the folks had been eating in, that's the kind of cattle is going to produce, Brother Joe. In other words, you said. And I've seen it, Brother James, different ones that raise cattle have seen it. You put them on short grass, and they'll have old stiff hair, and they'll look like they're wormy. But you put them in some long grass, and it good and raining on it, and they'll get so fat and plump and sassy, what we call it out there in that pasture. And it looks like, Brother James, that you could just push on them anywhere and just lose your thumb because it's so fat and plump. Well, that's the way we ought to be as Christians. And I'm not just talking about physically. But he said if we'd be willing and obedient, what would we do? We'd eat the good of the land. God's got the best. He don't have no stepchildren, I've heard. He don't, no, sir. No, sir. He's got the best. He's wanting to give us, everyone, exactly what we desire. Well, Brother Earl, I'd like to do this. I'd like to be a blessing. I'd like to be a help. I'd like to go here and do this and do that. I read the other day, I wish I'd have brought it with me and read to you, but John Wesley had told his people, he was that great old Methodist preacher of old, that about doing good, he said, do it every time you can, to whoever you can, to whoever will let you. And it was one of those kind of recitations that went on down the line. And I thought about all that that involves is a drink of water. Paul said, what? Do good to them who are of the household of faith. He said, do good to all men, but especially to them who are of the household of faith. The world's looking at us and they say that if they saying, that's the stingiest bunch of people I've ever been around. Now, your family comes first. I want you to hear that. According to this Bible, my mouth of the Bible, Brother James, your family comes first. Feed them, clothe them, do whatever it takes. Because if you don't, you're worse than infidel, the Bible said. But when we look around and we see folks that have got a need, and I'm not just talking about physical all the time, but spiritual. I think we've got a way, and I'm guilty, God help me, I'm guilty of seeing somebody discouraged. And whatever got them discouraged ain't important so much as it is we need to get them undiscouraged. But that arm around that brother or that sister, going to that sister and hugging her neck and telling her, I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you. The Bible talked about it was like cold water being poured on somebody. And you've heard when somebody said, well, I went to the church and told them my plans, and they poured cold water on my plans. That's a whole different story, Brother Joe, when we get our saddle shot out from under, so to speak. But when you see a man struggling and a man needing help and a man walking on life's road and looking down and out, it'd take a cup of cold water to him, Brother James, and tell him, said, where did you get this? Said, I got this from the Father's house. He might look at you like you're crazy. But all just to tell him that I've been along with God and talked to you about the Lord and talked to him about you, and it beats anything else that you can do from somebody. She said, so is good news from a far country. The world looks at us and says, hey, y'all think you're living in another world, but you're still living on this earth. I know that. But the Christian tonight and the sinner live in a country millions of miles apart. You and I are going to go home tonight by the help of God. Get in those nice houses God give us. Eat that nice grub God give us. Get in them nice bed God give us. And Brother Rick made it so plain. No wheelchairs around here. No crutches. All these kind of things. And we look at the other man and say, I wish I had it like him. But what about the man that's lost his family to get where he's at, Brother XL? You still got yours. I still got mine. And we can, and we might not have all the money in the world, but when we got home, you realize that tonight? When we got home, there's nothing like home. Amen. The old songwriter said, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. I've walked in a many times, Sister Carolyn's kitchen, and smell that good country cooking, and I thought, there ain't nothing like home. You know, Brother John's a rich man tonight. He is. He might sometime not feel like he is or what have you. I know how the devil plays on us. But Brother Russell, I think y'all have a breakfast every Saturday with the boys that you can, don't you? There ain't nothing like it. Amen. And I'm glad tonight. But there's another banquet table being spread that we can't see. Satan knows about it. May know more about it than we do. I don't know. The Lord might have told him after he kicked him out of heaven and said, well, you won't get to come to the banquet that I prepared. Ain't no telling what he told him. They had fellowship at one time, but the devil broke it off. But he's got it in his mind to keep every one of us from getting there. But I like what Paul said in the book of Acts when he talked about, by all means, he must keep this supper. He must, by all means, keep this feast at Jerusalem. I know he's talking about the Passover there. You've heard Brother Rich preach probably about that feast that we got to go to. But if we're not careful, we'll get to thinking about more of this world. And we hear the preachers preach, and I'm not against it by no means if they're doing it in the right spirit, but the world ain't some big monster, Brother James, with, you know, the bowling alleys, skating rinks, and all the hoodoo and everything you can get involved in. That ain't the world that I'm fearing tonight. The world that I'm fearing is the ambition to get ahead, to get more, to acclimate more, and to have more. Well, it ain't going to be nothing to do but more worry, more stress, more to look at. The Bible said the rich man is what? He can't even sleep because he's worried about somebody getting his stuff. You say, well, Brother Earl, you've got some things. Yeah, the Lord's blessed me. Now, if a fella needs it worse than I do, he can come and ask me. If I can help him, I give it to him. I hope he don't resort to stealing from me. You know, that's not going to be a good picture if I'm anywhere around. But anyhow, the Lord's give us nice things to enjoy, and we enjoy them. And if they bring us closer to God, that's fine. But if we get to where we got so much involved in this world, Brother James, we ought to be ready to go at a moment's notice. I'm talking about leave this country. I'm talking about have what he said. One man, he said, get thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. The Lord saw that man. House wasn't in order. And he had to let him live a few more years to get ready to meet him. But a Christian tonight ought to live with this water coming in that I've been talking about, hearing from heaven, hearing from God. And I've known folks that every time you get around them, it looks like they've been hooked right into the power source and they're jumping that high and everything just moving and shaking, and man, I heard from God today. Well, I'm glad. It ain't always like that with me, Brother James. It might take me 3 days before I hear from heaven. It might take longer than that. But ain't nothing like seeking. Ain't nothing like digging and pawing and asking God to give you something fresh and give you something new. Amen. We see these people that real learned in this world. How'd they get that way? They applied itself. One guy told Paul, said, man, much learning's made you mad. You've lost your mind. He said, I'm not mad. He said, but I what? I speak forth the word of truth and soberness. It depends on what you're reading. You're reading the Bible, I mean, you're going to get, it's going to rub off on you. It's going to get in you. He said, it's going to be like what? Marrow in your bones. He said, you can tie it around your neck and you wear it on the tables of your heart. I mean, he give us every indication that it would benefit us if we read it. But if we put it over here on top of, or put our Bible over here and seldom read it, how are we going to know about the promises of heaven? How are we going to know about what's waiting on us? How are we going to know about the grandeur of heaven and the splendor? And you say, well, I read that before and I ain't never really done nothing for me. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. That songwriter said, what, when my feet, Sister Byer, touch the streets of glory. Can you imagine going to a city and the first step you take and forever 100 million miles or however how it is down through there all the way plumb to the end of heaven, if it's such a thing, is solid gold. And you get to walk on it. But it's going to depend on what fountain you've been drinking out of. Now, when you look all around, what did he say, 1,500 miles, square? The city. That ain't the country. That's the city. That's high, wide, and long. And you look up there, 1,500 miles. And see, I don't know if you can see plumb the end of it. Brother Willie used to preach that about the colors of it, all them 12 colors. And he went off and named them off, you know, and all that kind of stuff and what they stood for. And said that what, the 12, it was built on the 12 apostles was a, or something like that. And just all kind of good stuff to go on in there. And a lot of folks say, that don't sound like somewhere that I'm just going to be happy. I just can't see if a man wouldn't be happy to go to God's heaven and see what God's got. I believe tonight if we could just get a glimpse of these cold waters that we're in Eden and start drinking from this well and thinking about the things that God's got in store for his children. He said it's not what? It's not entered into the heart. They ain't seen it with the eye. They ain't heard it with the ear. What God has what? Got prepared for them. That what? That love him. Not that do it because mama's making me. Not because the church discipline says I got to or they'll kick me out. But do it because they love him. Amen. I believe in my heart tonight that this cold water will keep us. The Bible said he's in one place in Isaiah, I believe he said, even to the hoar hairs or the white hairs come in your head, I'll keep you. I've seen a lot of men. We went up to that meeting the other night, and I've seen a lot of brethren and sisters that I've known way back yonder. Sister Wright, y'all know Sister Wright. Her husband died, Brother Leland. His wife now, Sister Mary Lois, she's always been special to me because she's one of them that she's the same way that the first day I ever laid eyes on her. And I think a lot of it, there was folks up there, and I thought, man, if I could just stay fixed with God till I get older, and maybe some of these young ones coming up behind me.
Yes.
You know, you got all these folks that the world's looking at. You go in a child's home today, a lot of times, a child's room today in a home, and they'll have pictures all over the wall of these sports heroes or whatever, and the parents just tell them, you know, you need to apply yourself and be like that and all. And on the surface, it don't look too harmful because, they, you know, some of them come from broken homes and they've had to really sacrifice or whatever to get to where they are. But a few years down the road, you look at them and find out that, you know, they got big because they took steroids or find out they've been with 10 or 12 different women and do all kind of bad things. And then they say, well, maybe he wasn't a hero that we thought he was. But Christ, Brother Daniel, I never heard nobody say, I followed him and he led me wrong. I give my heart to Jesus and I wished I never had. I've never heard those things. I've never heard nobody say I'm glad or I hate that I prayed. I've never heard anybody get up and testify. You know why? Because they drunk from the well. They drunk that water that they felt like that God is coming right out of the bottle of heaven and it give them the drink that they needed. Uncle Bud, I read behind him one time, and while I was talking about it being good for the old ones, they talked to Uncle Bud Robinson about retiring. He had done got on up in years. He died, and I think he was born in 1880, and he died in 1942. No, excuse me, he got saved in 1880. He was born in 1860, 5 years before the war started. Okay, so he was up in his 80s when he died. Anyway, they got to him in a place, and they said, about retiring. And he said, Uncle Bud just kind of got that faraway look in his eye. And he said, I want to hit the ball. And then he said it again for emphasis. He said, I want to hit the ball. Brother James, I hope if I get to be 80 years old, I still got that fire. One man said, as long as there was blood in the vessel, he wanted to preach the gospel. Oh, if we had a desire. And just, you say, well, Brother Earl, we're not preachers or what have you, but it don't have to be. But do you have that desire, Brother James, to be a blessing in this old world? Look around us tonight. There's not but 40, 50, 60 people, ever how many it is. We say we can't do much. You'd be surprised. The impact that this church, that this group of people that serves this God that I'm talking to you tonight about has in this community. You say, well, I don't see it. You're looking too low. Your expectations is too low. You're looking at what you can see. You're looking at a group of people that's dedicated, sold out to God, not only on the outside, but on the inside. But I guarantee you, you go to anybody in this community that knows the truth about what this church stands for, Brother James, and knows, you know, we don't handle snakes. We don't stand at the back of the church, as I've heard it said, and measure the ladies' dresses when they come in. Can we, all us deacons run around with a yardstick. I mean, everything can be told on us and all kind of stuff. That's between you and the Lord, sister. But I guarantee you, you drink plenty of water like I'm talking about, you'll get it down there where nobody want to be looking around. You know what I'm saying? Amen. But you go to these folks and ask them about the Lord and how his mercy and goodness and all of that's been shown to them. And I was praying today, I thought, Lord, we don't need so much more mercy in this country. We just need to respond to the mercy that's already been given. Brother James, if you was God, you'd have cut her off a long time ago, wouldn't you? If I was God, I'd have cut her off a long time ago. We've got, what, 42 million something babies since 1973 that's been aborted in this country? Me and you'd probably cut it off at the first 100,000. We'd say, well, that's too many. But God's long-suffering. God's long-suffering. We got some news this past week that somebody shared with me, and I thought, Lord, it just ain't right. These people hurting these children like this and doing things. And us men ought to be able to do something about it. Well, nowadays, if you take a stand and do something physically, you go to the penitentiary just like they will. But there was a day when men could take care of business and they had that God-given right or fear or whatever, and nobody said nothing to them. We're living a different age now. We're living a different age. So it looks like we're going to have to keep our nose clean and we're going to have to get to heaven for ourselves. And we're going to have to pray. And we're going to have to beg God and seek God, Brother Dane, like never before, to get a hold of this water that I'm talking about. And every time, looks like, what was that in the Bible where they went to eat? The prophet was there, and they cooked a big old bowl of pottage, and somebody what? Throwed something in the pot. Throwed poison lentils or something, which is a bean, I guess. Anyway, they throw that in the pot, and they got to eat, and they said, well, what? There's death in the pot. Death in the pot. Oh, that I had, and you and I had that fire of God in us that we'd tell people. And I know it's hard when your loved ones maybe go to a different church and they have different ideas and opinions. And look, as I've always said, a lot of this stuff we do, it may not be necessary. It may not be, but we'll know on that day if it was. And if we get there and it wasn't, we ain't lost nothing. But if we get there and it was, Brother James, and we find out too late, there's not going to be no change in the recompense on that day for changing. He's not going to say, well, I'll give you another 2 or 3 years, go get it right, just come back then. But when we get there and he says, I told you in my word how to do it. You know what I mean? And we looked at the word of God and we said, well, that applies for somebody else. No, we get a hold of this water that I'm talking about and drink it just right. When we have death in the pot, so to speak, and we have the word of God, people take it and twist it and turn it to their own advantage. I mean, there's a group of people out there that tell you just straight up. And today, in 2009, you can have two wives and still be saved. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever they call them, they practice it. Not so much around here, but they practice it. Look at what happened out there in Texas. Them people look just about like some of our sisters. But that's as far from God as you can be. Any kind of such activity as that, Brother James. I ought to be getting some amens on that. But, I mean, the devil don't care how he twists it around. He can taint the water. He can taint mine and your water. He can come in and drop something here or there and give us an old bad drink, and then before long we'll be troubled, as the Bible said, the troubled sea. Amen. I was going to share that with you tonight about the cold waters to a thirsty soul. You ever get to a place where you're needing more of God? Don't be satisfied to say, well, we had a good meeting. I just live in, bask in the glow of what happened. Brother James got blessed. Sister Eloise got blessed. And, you know, I just got blessed seeing them get blessed. That's a pretty weak crutch, ain't it? When God's got a dose for you. When God's got a drink for you. When God's got something for you with your name on it. Can you imagine? No wonder Paul called him in the book of Timothy the only wise God. The only wise God. Mankind, do you realize tonight if you had 100 people asking you for everything, Brother James, from Lord, help me not have a flat tire to pay my bills, to feed my children, to save my children, to yada, yada, yada. You know how you get 100 people get around you talking to you, Brother James. I know how I get. We get what? We get frustrated. Hold on, man. I'll take that when I get, just come back and get up with me in a minute and I'll talk with you. But he's got millions of people on his line. Yeah, Dr. Manny's talking about tonight. And there he is, can answer every one of them. And never put one of them off. Ain't never told one of them, I'll have to think about that. You stumped me. You made a bear out of me, as we say. No, he ain't never done that. But he's always had something to tell them. Yes, no, wait, or whatever it is, or answers on the way, or whatever it is. Bless him all. And he's got the knowledge as to why he's telling them that. You and I, sometimes we told people stuff, and you'll have to admit now, because I'm just like a human, just like you. We told them, a lot of them, what they wanted to hear. Not lied to them, but told them what they wanted to hear. Somebody come to you for advice, and you've seen it, wrote all over their face. I'm going to do what I want to do, no matter what you say. This wrote all over their face. And they come and ask for advice. And you lean out on a limb and say, well, this is what I would do, child, a young person, or however it is, daughter, or son, or brother, whoever. And they say, well, you see it, just get all over them. That ain't what they want to hear. So you tell them, all right, if you think that's what you need to do, you go right ahead and do that. And that way you feel like when they come back and make a flop or whatever, you know, that we told them what we thought. You don't like to feel that way, but that's the way we are sometimes. But God ain't never done that, Brother James. Because why? He give us a choice way back yonder. And he said, this is the way I would like for you to walk. And this is the way I want you to walk. And this way, if you walk it, you'll be blessed. And this over here is the other side of the story. And I hate to tell you, but if you walk this way, it's going to cost you. And you're going to have problems. And you're going to have a lot of sleepless nights. Oh, Brother Rick was talking Sunday night about two of our precious young people. And I thought, Brother James, as I thought about his message, and some might have said, well, he was a little too strong, or that was pretty strong medicine, or whatever. But up here, it looks different than it does down there. Because you can see a lot of times a young person, or it don't matter young or old, but a person that's slipping fast, and they're going fast, and he's throwing out a lifeline. And I thought about, as he preached, if Brother James, our people, our young folks, and all of us, really, we'd take heed to what we hear. And Paul said, one of them said, lest at any time we let it slip. Because Satan, Brother James, been at this a long time. He's got all kind of little cuties out there, and all kind of little pretties and trinkets out there. And he's got more than they say Carter's got liver pills. He's got something that he can drop off on every corner. Brother Joe mentioned that corner Sunday night. He's got something he can drop off on every corner and say, try this. And you might not have no idea in your mind that you was going to do anything like that in your life. But your two best friends is doing it, and you don't want to be out with them, so you try it. Oh, it ain't nothing like getting some good godly conviction, Sister Paula. I know it. I could count on that hand right there. The girls I went to in school that didn't wear no breeches, that didn't cut their hair. One of them was a Church of Christ girl. And different ones. And I didn't have no idea what all that was about then, because I wasn't exposed to none of that. But there was something drawed my attention. And them girls was respected because people looked up to them. Why? Because they made their own rules. They didn't go by all the rules of the high school when all of them was walking around in them old short shorts and halter tops and all that. You seen these girls in a nice dress, and they looked like they cared about themselves. And people respected them for that. You ain't got nothing to look down on, Sister Carrie. When folks look at you and say, well, she's one of them, you be proud. You be glad. Amen, Sister Jessie, you're one of them. Because that's going to go a long way in eternity. It may not get you far in this old world, but it's going to go a long way in eternity. Amen. But I thought about how that if we're not careful, we'll think the devil's got the upper hand, but he don't. I read the back of the book. The saints of God comes out on top. They go through some trouble. They go through some ringing around. They go through some mess. But God's victors. Amen. And his children's victors. I'm going to read this to you. And I get a newsletter from these people of the Voice of Holiness newsletter. Brother Lloyd Hubbard. Y'all know him, some of you. His son writes this, Brother Lonnie. And he's out there in Kansas, I believe. No, Oklahoma, Wynnewood, Oklahoma. But anyway, he sent this newsletter here to the house, and I read it, and I just wanted to read to you something. So if you got your head in the sand about thinking about the devil's not doing much, this right here will change it. And it goes back to what I'm preaching about. He said, I received an article recently that was enlightening to me in regard to some current situations. The story is of a pastor from Brazil. He was seated next to a lady on a flight who at 6 p.m. began praying fervently. After she was done praying, the pastor asked if she was a Christian. Much to his astonishment, she said no, that she was praying to her father, Satan, for the demise of Pastor so-and-so. As the conversation progressed, this Brazilian pastor found out that the Church of Satan worldwide has set aside the 6 p.m. hour every day to pray for the demise of the Christian church and most specifically for its pastors. It appears that they assume or assign specific Christian leaders to pray against. Now think about this for a moment. It is always 6 p.m. somewhere in the world. So 24 hours a day, prayers are being directed to their God of this world, Satan, for the destruction of Christian pastors and the church they shepherd. The article went on, and I'll quote exactly as it is written. How has the emergent church, that's what they call it, I guess, completely consumed much of what we call Christianity today? Do you know any pastor who has stepped down from his position or been forcibly removed because of immorality? What about those dear pastors who simply became exhausted with the strain of shepherding and walk away from the ministry? A pastor from the 17th century, Gardner Spring, once wrote, it is no marvel that the pulpit is so powerless and ministers so often disheartened when there are so few to hold up their hands. The consequence of neglecting this duty is seen and felt in the spiritual declension of the churches, and it will be seen and felt in the everlasting perdition of men. You didn't think the devil had folks praying, but he does. They're true to their God. See, a lot of folks think this little old life that we got, so to speak, is just, that's it. You're either a good man or bad man or whatever. No, you're either a saved man or a lost man. And there's a battle going on for souls every day, Brother James. And Satan, if he goes to bed, he gets up every morning and saying, what can I do to destroy another life? And we sang that song, what else could God do? I mean, he's keeping Jesus presented to the masses. You and I is in this nice, fine building, and thank the Lord for it. But right now, somewhere, somebody, a man or a person is preaching the gospel, Brother Joe, and through an interpreter, and thousands of people that we would never, Brother James, see in our life, Spanish-speaking people, African people, all kind of people, that fellow's doing his best to reach the gospel to them people. And they may never darken the door of a holiness church. You know what I'm saying? They may never. But if they can get that heart washed with the blood of the Lamb, they'll make a difference in their life. And some folks, we were talking the other day about how's God going to treat the mentally retarded person or somebody that can't quite come to grasp of what Christ did and the simplicity of the gospel. And I told them, look, it ain't the ones that don't understand we got to worry about. I said, it's the ones that know and won't do it. It's what we got to worry about. Because God will take care of a man that's born from birth and he don't have, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he don't know. God, he's just. He'll be right with that. But if you and I have heard the gospel and we throw it over our shoulder and say, that's not for me. I'm not talking about foolishness. Brother Rick made that clear the other day when he was preaching. I'm talking about the gospel. That good news from a far country, Brother James. It hit me the other day about that baby born in that manger in Bethlehem in his just July. And I got to squalling about that and thinking about that. That was a glorious day when them angels come out on them old shepherd boys and told them, we bring you glad tidings. Where'd they get it from? They got it from headquarters. They told them, to this day unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a difference he's made in mine and your life. I appreciate him tonight. I love him. I want to serve him. I'm trying to wind it down. But let's think about this. About what I was reading there. The man, the article is about helping the pastor and the people of God and all our Sunday school teachers. They're just as important. Brother James, Sister Cindy, Sister Eloise, Sister Letha, Brother Jonathan, not here, but everybody that wields a sword, Brother James, in this church, and all of our leaders and people, and just everybody. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's important. And the singers go right now, the musicians, and everybody is important. But if we're trying to get ahead of the other one, or we think we're a little better than the other one, or whatever, it's going to cause problems. Paul said, Brother Joe, that where confusion and strife is, or there was every evil work, I believe. No, where envy and strife was, there was confusion and every evil work, I believe. You know, and thank you, sister. God, he said, not to author confusion. And we see it everywhere we go. If people claim the name of God, be careful about his name. I got where Brother Rick preached in, or taught Sunday school the other day, said them old Jewish writers, when they would write the word of God that they had back in them day, and especially when they was translating the Bible, said when they come to the word God, you remember Brother Ronnie, he said they'd quit before they wrote it. They'd go take a shower or a bath or whatever they had, and they'd, you know, clean themselves up real good, and they'd come back and they'd write that word, and they might not write but two more words in that sentence, and they'd come upon God's name again, and they'd go back and do the same thing over again. They had that fear of God. And I got to where I write when I write in my little daily book that if the Lord done something, and I put down glory to God or thank God or something, and I think about that, Sister Kelly, and I just write his name, I tell you, my writing's terrible. Look like an old hen just been sitting there scratching on a piece of paper, Brother Ronnie. But I try to write it the best I can. Because I want him to know, Brother James, he's been good to me. He's been so favorable and so helpful and so kind and gracious. And I don't ever want to get away from that. Amen. I know he ain't hoot and holler now. I ain't going to apologize about that or whatever. I'm just saying tonight, that drink you can get, you ain't just got to get it at church. You can get it out anywhere. Amen. And find a place. And God will fill your cup. And God will touch your soul. And you might not feel like you're doing much. You might not feel like you're a blessing. But you are. Everybody, Brother James, I said it here a while back about Brother Darrell and them. And Brother Darrell just is quiet and gentle and all. I like that, Brother James. But I like that they're faithful. I appreciate that. That means a lot. God looks at that. Amen. And he sees that folks are trying and doing right. And I believe he's going to bless us. Amen. Let's find us a place. Come around and pray, and then we'll give the service back to Brother James. Amen.